Vessels, Vulcan Knife Radio, TGS, Green Seat, all of that. We're back for another one of these Drapetomania Revealed going down right here. So, let's talk about Make Room. Make Room is probably, if I had to put it into words, Make Room is the track that's meant to mean inclusiveness. And when I say inclusiveness, I mean inclusiveness. I mean make room for us. Let us coexist. Let us have a seat at the table. But when I wrote my verse, I wrote my verse a bit, it was anti-inclusive. It was almost resistant to the status quo a little. And we'll dig into the meat of that verse. I think the reason why I want to dig into the meat of this verse is this is another verse that goes overlooked because of Jude Law, because of Got You, because of the video surrounding those and the hype surrounding those two songs. This is the biggest bar spitter that I've got on the whole record. This is the one, other than Jude Law, because I'm kind of spewing bars a little bit on Jude Law just because I kind of just want to let people, like, into the mind of how I spit bars. Because I don't spit bars with the general idea of trying to be, I don't want to say braggadocio or braggadocious or hubris, so to speak. Not for me. It's a little bit of that in there, but I do it more with the tonality of my voice. When I'm really being braggadocio, when I'm really just kind of chill and laid back, you can tell. And when I'm, because Jude Law, I'm hyper aggressive. And on this track, Make Room, I'm hyper aggressive. This is also when videos were selected for this album. This is the one that I had hoped that people would select. Everyone generally gravitated to Gimmicks and Got You and Jude Law and, you know, for whatever reason. But this one, Make Room and Road Trip, were two tracks that I felt like had space and had room to be some pretty impressive videos. This one more so than any of them, just because of the eeriness that's behind it. This record was recorded. All elements of it were recorded at Pipe and Gun over in Homewood. Just one of my favorite. I talk about Pipe and Gun, the studio over in Homewood. Sometimes I can feel myself talking to, like, it's almost like the Pipe and Gun studio and I need to get a room. Like, I loved working over there. Just the open space. You could kind of see out of the big little windows there. The kitchen was right on. I just enjoyed recording over there. It was great. I love Izzy South. I spent more of my life in Izzy South than I did at Pipe and Gun over in Homewood, but love that studio. And, you know, and maybe I'm bragging a little bit. Maybe that's the jackass in me. I'm bragging a little bit because I got to record over there, and very few of us got to record over there. And it was a very nice space to record in. So, Make Room is eerie. Make Room has the samples, and you'll jump into the samples here in a second. But this track is about making room for us, thinking that, you know, maybe TGS was going to make some noise. I had a conversation with a friend of mine recently, and I said, maybe TGS has jumped the shark a little bit, you know? And I feel like that's something that every artist, band, whatever you're into, You need to always think that, maybe you've peaked, just so that you find out who you are. Because you could, if you haven't peaked, then prove it. In the eyes of the people, I know people think TGS has jumped the shark. Think we're kind of, you've seen us once, you've seen, whatever. And I can get that. I mean, I feel that. I mean, there are people on Twitter who are calling for the idea that no band, and I mean no band, not even your favorite band. I saw an entire Twitter thread where they're talking about not even your favorite band should play any more than 20 minutes. 20 minutes should be it. I know I've got some favorites. Phantogram, I want to see perform more than 20 minutes. But for somebody that that you're just not enamored or in love with, 20 minutes is probably about where you check out. If you're being honest, for a band that you're just not super into. And if you're not just super into TGS, yeah. I mean, we don't perform much over 20 minutes anyway. Doesn't matter what, what's going on. But anyhow. Make room has makes we make use of Bread, the band Bread. I don't know what song these came from, but they are eerie. Let's play some of them here so we can. So that's one pad there, and of course I didn't play them this way, but this is just what's on the pads. I typically like to take them out and stretch them out, put them all over pads, and then just play them until something feels right, You can choke them, you can not choke them, you can do a myriad of things just to kind of get some rhythm. Let's see what's. Yeah, that's a good one. And here we go again. I mean, that's some damn good bass there, and yeah, they were detuned. I detuned them slightly. They were detuned one whole step down, which makes them even more eerie. This is another one there. And there's one on here that I didn't use. That one right there, I didn't. I started to use this little vocal cut that I just took like a little, a little quick stab at there. And I think I was playing it like this, like where I was, wait a minute. 16 levels on MPC is something that, I just absolutely love. You can do velocity, tone, all that. So there was part where I may have been, I think, let's see if it's in. Yeah, so I was. Like an intro part, like where I was just kind of like. Like some Mr. Bungle junk, right? And then right into, But, when you're in the studio and you start taking all this stuff and you start planning it, you can plan it one way and then you get in there. I mean, because if you ever planned it one way and you go in there and you do it exactly the way you planned, something's wrong. There's always something somebody's going to say. There's always something somebody's going to do that might influence the track in a way that you didn't think it could be influenced. And that's why, it seems like on some of these Drapetomania revealed, like I'm taking all the super uber credit. I'm taking all the introductory credit. I'm taking all the credit for where it starts. But man, once we get in the studio, man, it could go anywhere. I mean, just there's even some songs on this new record that we're working on that, I have an idea. I go and I build it out, and Complete will come in and he'll say something or add something that I didn't think, and then I'll take that idea and mash it up, and try something different with it. So, it starts with me, but it don't end with me. You get what I'm saying? And so, when you've got these pads here, okay, yeah, and I did. I made the mono pads. So now I can do, I can play it like this, which is one pad, two pad, three pad. I can make it whatever I want. I can go. Or I can go. That would have been actually cool if I had done that. And then throw this. Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, you get what I'm saying. I mean, you get the point I'm trying to make. I'm just saying that they're, when you use these samplers like they're instruments and not just some loop machine, there are ideas and things that you can go and you can build into. And we, people that use these things, we don't get enough credit. We don't get enough credit. Now, we also don't get enough blame. We're thieves. Okay? Like, I have to admit, I have to take ownership of this. I'm a thief. These albums that I've created, I stole them. I stole an idea, and I flipped the idea, but it was still thieving. I mean, still thievery. I mean, you know? I mean, if you go in, you steal a pack of Starburst. I don't know if this analogy is going to work. I'm just going to go with it. If you go in and steal a pack of Starburst, and then you go out and rewrap the Starburst and bring them back into the store and call them Burst Stars, you still stole the Starburst, the initial Starburst. You might have created a new term or a new way of packaging, or you may have even changed the way that they're, you may even, I don't know what's, how many are in a package of Starburst, what, 12? Is it 12 Starbursts in a pack? Well, how many ever there are? Maybe you could cut them up and now they're into little pieces and they're individually wrapped and now you call them Burst Stars. Well, you stole the first Starburst, package of Starburst. Okay? So even though you created this new little way to consume the product, you still stole it. Okay? And I'm talking to myself here, man. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a genius, you know? You know, we all know what's been going on with Kanye Yeezy and Yeezy or Ye or whatever he wants to call himself. And he's not a genius either. Sometimes people call you genius just so they can hoist you up, so they can pull you down. So, you know, it's interesting the way that we do this. It's interesting the way that we create new art from an old piece of art, but it's still thievery. And you can call people the best. They're the best it's ever been, or they're one of the best, and they're this and they're that. Well, if they stole everything they got, then, you know, who's that runner in the Olympics? Ben, I think he was from the UK or something. I think he won the 200 that year, won the gold, and he had been doping. I mean, come on, man. Like, okay, all right, yeah. We're hip-hop artists. This is where our arts began. This is where we fit. But, hey, man, like, once you keep thieving everything and, you know, you're not a genius and you're not some great musician till you pick a musical instrument up. Now, like I said, these NPCs can be created. They can be that. They can be rhythmic creators. They can be builders. But, you know. Let me get off my soapbox. And I'm soapboxing myself. I'm a thief, too. I did. I mean, these samples were stolen from a bread piece of vinyl. Okay? Like, all right. So, I mean, what can I say? So, let's also talk a little bit about the artwork on Andre Pedomania. Okay? Because we've got to address this. We've got to talk about it. At some point, but we're just going to kind of do like an intro piece. Everybody that has seen that little seed, the little red seed with the little white lips or outline of white lips, you know that there is some minstrel undertones attached to that seed, okay? For the state of the United States, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this without sounding like, you know, like every other minority that, you know, got a problem with the way things are run. The way that race is being such a point of emphasis ever since Barack Obama became president, dealing in racial undertones can work for you or it can work against you. In the case of, we see what's happening with Childish Gambino. It's working for him. You got this big Star Wars movie behind you. You got all this stuff going on. So you can talk about race and you can make a video that has racial undertones and all of these underlying statements and things. You can do all of that now because we've got a we've got somebody in power that some people would say is divisive. Okay? And I'm not inputting my opinion into this because this isn't a political show, but I'm making a point here, so follow me. When Geppetto Mania came out in 2014, there was a small statement being made. It wasn't being made by the band, really. It wasn't being made by the label either. The artist was drawing parallels between where we were from and a statement that was made on the record. Okay? Because B-Hat's the artist that worked on the art, and of course the album cover and all of the underlying kind the artwork is beautiful. I mean, all of that is just fantastic, and I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, it's got the seed is its own thing. Okay, the seed is its own thing, which is why we'll talk about that later. But when you start talking about the artwork, the cover art, that is a beautiful piece of work, a beautiful piece of art. And you can construe it and you can take it however you want. You can draw some sort of racial connection to it if you want. But that is the way that black people have been viewed in America. That's the Judy Garland used to Lucille too for people that love Arrested Development. I mean not yeah, Judy Garland, who is the mother of Liza Minnelli. Lucille, too, who's on Arrested Development. Judy Garland wore blackface with white lips. They used to get white people to play us. Okay? So, while the artwork has those undertones, everybody had all this opinion, and I know people that had this opinion about the artwork and about the t-shirts and about whether it was racist or what was going on. And we've even had people, somebody sent a piece of mail from Comvest that had that seed stamped on it, and the guy went on Twitter. I retweeted it. The guy went on Twitter and was like, "Hey, I just got some racist imagery on something from a band from Alabama, and it wasn't even our band. It was one of the other bands on Comvest that had this seed on it, and this guy's like opening it up." Wanted to look at, I guess, to do a review on somebody's record. I can't remember which one of them it was, but it had this seed on it. Now, say what you want. The seed has those little undertones attached to it. Okay? Some people run from it, some people gravitate toward it. Now, those of us that were involved in the whole process, I mean, we gravitated to it to a degree, for as much as we could, but nobody would ask us. I think that's the part that bothered me the most is that nobody would just call us out on it. I mean, because if you thought that's what it was, at least go on. I mean, look, everybody goes on Facebook crying and moaning and whining about everything else. Then why couldn't somebody just say, "Hey, man, what's going on with these green seed dudes with this artwork, man? This artwork is racist, or this artwork is on the fence, or." That's all anybody would have had to have said in that situation, And then we would have answered it. I had statements prepared, because I felt like it was something that could have been talked about without being some sort of, I mean, because man, we from the South, like, you know what I'm saying? Like little brother who also had some version of this minstrel show thing on their album was called Name the Minstrel Show, and they had their they had their faces on there with some blackface and some other stuff. They did that, and nobody seems to bat an eye about it. But Complete said a verse. I can't remember what song it is. It's on. But Complete said the words minstrel, new minstrel show is what he said. Okay? I don't know what point he was trying to make. He'll have to tell y'all that. But he said new minstrel show on some verse that he said. B-Hat, the artist, for some reason, attached and linked, just latched on to those words. And the next thing we know, he's coming back with all this imagery. Now, as the leader of TGS, I have to be 100 with everybody and say that in the beginning, I was all for it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because some of those images felt like, okay, this is enough to get people's attention. This might actually get some people's attention with the album title and the imagery combined. Maybe we can start talking about. Maybe we can have some dialogue and some conversation. But like I've said from the earliest versions of this Drapetomania revealed, nobody wanted to talk to us about it. I think everybody was afraid to talk to us about it. I was afraid. I think they were scared bleepless to say, what are you guys trying to say here? What is this? And I mean, there's a million things we can say. I mean, especially the way the America is right now with black people being, dealt with the way. I mean, it was a gazillion things we could have said. Even at that time, we had a black president then. Even at that time, we could have said, well, you know, all we do is see Fox News and everybody attack this black president every day, every freaking day. Everybody's crying and whining about black president going to turn us into a socialist country. And so there could have been a gazillion things we could have said about it, but nobody want to talk to us about it. Of course, I think it was Walter Llewellyn, who wrote a glowing breakdown of what he thought our record was in one of the publications. I can't remember. I hate when I get to talking about this stuff and I'm so passionate about it and I can't remember like the tiniest little detail. But nobody wanted to talk to us about it. Nobody wanted to have an in-depth conversation with something that is so clearly, what the bleep are y'all doing? Like, this was one of those moments where it was very clear that if anybody had seen this that was even remotely interested in conversation about racial images or a black hip-hop group with a white member DJ and how do y'all come together so well and, you know, what, you know, every time we got interviewed, somebody wanted to play, you know, it wanted to have shenanigans and all this other bull crap going on when we did have interviews. Nobody wanted to have any real serious conversation with us. And I think it's because they don't think we're serious. I'm just going to be frank. I think that people don't think that we're serious. They think that we're some sort of step and fetching kind of, you know. But we're serious about our art, man. We are serious about our art. We spend time on our art. There was a time when it was only us and Shahid and DJ Supreme even doing this kind of music. Underground or boom bap or whatever you want to call it. So there was a time where we were the outcasts. Both sets of us were the outcasts. And we stayed true to who we were. We were very serious about now our performances, and we like to have fun and all that stuff. Yeah, great. But does that mean we can't have a real conversation? Is that what that means? You don't think we're serious, and so now you can't have a real conversation with us? I mean, and so I said all that to say this. This track is about inclusiveness, and we coming to take our inclusiveness. And not just like on some violent stuff, but just on some serious stuff. And so when all you've got is this got you imagery, and when all you've got is this Jude Law, well, actually, Jude Law is the most serious. I mean, that's the most serious video ever, okay, that we have. And I think it scared some people. Some people even wrote reviews where they seemed like they were afraid of it. But When you got this got you imagery, and you got this crack kills imagery, and then you've got this all the same video floating out there, this the same thing. You can go look at it, you can go look it up for yourself. We're not gonna talk about all the same as a video just because of how all of that went down. But once again, you know, these videos, as much as you want to say it, you could almost say Drapetomania was really us maybe trying to state, and of course I'm stretching here because this is not what we were trying to do, because this was the artist's rendition. This was him making a statement. But you could go so far as to say that every time a videographer is trying to take our video, he's trying to make us look silly. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could say it. Crack Kills. Okay. Crack Kills, I have no problem with Crack Kills, the way Crack Kills was presented, because it's presented in a silly, tongue-in-cheek, you know, kind of way. Okay. Got You really ain't a silly video. I mean, a silly song. When Will Breaks Got You down later. But Got You ain't a silly song. So on some level, you know, having us play these characters and all that stuff, you know, sometimes that works. Sometimes it don't. And so you could almost say that Drapetomania was really our tour de force. It was really our moment to say, like, okay, yeah, every time a camera shoved in our face, somebody trying to make us get us to make a silly face. I mean, really. And yeah, we'd like to have fun. Like, don't get me wrong. We'd like to have fun. We'd like to be silly. But there's some level of seriousness along that goes with this music. And let me kind of prove to you just a little bit. I don't know how much of this verse I'm going to be able to remember, but I'm going to see how much of this that I can remember here. Because if you're listening to the record, you hear what we're saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not just skipping over to the stuff that you remember seeing with the, you remember hearing me say stuff like this. A massive motivation isn't pop success. A culmination, what I build next is opposite. Your direction, get a real rep, it's not a stretch. So here's the best impersonation of DOS effects. Rock local theaters, but not Cancun. I thought my believers were hot lampoons. Your stock dropping meter has stopped and soon. So wop baba loo baba la bam boom. Heaven to Betsy, my style is aggressive and a little bit testy. I manage suppressing you savages like amateur wrestling. Depressing like amateur porno. It's more than just gorged holes. I ravage your warlobe and stand on your forelobe and candidly plan to cease the damage of cornrows. Morph into a force that left war-torn torsos. This mission isn't one that I'll forego. Of course, those opinions that have risen from a need to be critical. Dominion in the system, then we preseminal. Representation that stresses the nation. When we address with these pedestrian agents and secular stations that impede progressive edumacation. Arrest them or save them, no relation is made when we segregate these featherweights. These dudes must be hated when a higher take, so let them weigh. So see, I messed it up halfway through, but does that sound like you want me making a silly face with my tongue hanging out? Is that, I mean, did that sound like I wanted to be super happy-go-lucky? And that's what I'm talking about. We're a little serious. We have serious undertones, but it's just so easy to attach to our personalities when you see us out and hanging out. You know, we like to have fun. Me, Fred, and Jeff, and Pleat. We have a lot of fun together. But I think that is become that overshadows sometimes the seriousness by which we want to deliver verses sometimes. I mean, I actually said depressing like amateur porno. You want to know how you want to see a you want to see a depressed life? And I've never been to it on an amateur porno set, but I can bet you it's depressing. I bet you it is majorly depressing on an amateur porno site, on an amateur porno shoot. People on drugs, people broke, people's lives in torn the bleep up. And that's all I'm saying. Like, dig in, man. Like, dig in when you're listening to this. It's so easy to get so, like, enamored by all of the whatever else is going on. Because I'm not even saying the beats are all like, oh, super dope beats and all. Like, no, man, but just like commune with it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and don't just commune with the same two songs. I mean, It just doesn't even make any sense. I mean, it really just doesn't even make any sense. So that's me touching on Make Room, the verse. Oh, and then of course the hook, make way for the 9 to 5 verse. The ride or diers and the right to lifers. Okay? Like everybody, all inclusiveness. 9 to 5ers? I bet some 9 to 5ers are listening right now. Maybe some right to lifers are listening right now, possibly. You know what I'm saying? Make way for the 9 to 5ers. The right to lifers and our suppliers, those retired looking for the answer when there's no survivors. I mean, look, this track really, for some serious artsy director, and I'm talking about somebody serious, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody that's like into the seriousness of the depth of the lyrics. Somebody dig into this and really dig into this. You could create something that could visually could be very stunning, make some statements, all of that stuff. And so, you know, I'm not hating on my boy Donald Glover, because I got mad respect for this kid, man. I got mad respect for him. He is indeed a triple threat. You could almost say on some levels he probably a you know, a quart was it, what, I don't even know what you would call it, a quaternary threat, a quad threat. But it's been a lot of people's been writing some dope, in-depth lyrics, some stuff to make you think, and with coupled with the right imagery, could really break through. Okay? Coupled with some thoughtful imagery, coupled with thoughtful lyrics. Okay? Because you listen, most of you people listening to this have the album in some form. Go listen to this track. Commune with this track. And especially if you're a visual artist of some sort, you mean to tell me you've got the choice between this and something that's already been done before, and you gonna, I mean, come on, man. So, and just let me say this. What this reminds me of is a moment in my life which is very funny. For me, very funny. You might not find it funny or amusing. But I'm a tennis coach also, like that's another part-time gig. I got a full-time gig, I got music, a part-time gig, and I got I'm also a tennis coach. So there's one time I was teaching, you know, and at the place I was teaching at the time, I was definitely top dog kind of teacher, you know what I'm saying? Like all the kids want to be taught by me. But then one summer there was this college kid that came through, and I mean, dude was good. I mean, you know, like sometimes, like in sports, you have to concede when somebody's good. You know, it's not like in music where you can just literally just look back and see somebody with their arms folded and say, "Nah, he's all right." But in sport, you have if you think he's all right and you think you're up to the challenge, you have to go against the dude. So me and my pride, of course, I played the guy, and of course, it was close. I lost, and immediately you could see the shift in the power. You could see the shift in the kids wanting to be around him because they watched me lose. They watched the guy that teaches them every day, that prepares them for tournaments every day, lose to a kid that was just better. Okay? And this mano a mano stuff, this ain't no opinionated stuff. This is you lost. And in that moment, ego wants to take place. The reality is that those kids were better for it. Because what it did for me was it made me be a better coach. It made me dig in and recognize that there are still some things that I need to learn about teaching people the game of tennis. And it also taught those kids that no matter what, because they thought I was going to win. I mean, let's be real. They thought I was going to win. And I lost. And so what they immediately did, it immediately let them see, and I used it as a teachable moment. It was a moment where I told them, I said, "Well, guys, this is one of those moments where you need to take something away from this. I thought that I was going to win, and I lost. And what it did, what it has done for me is it's taken me back to the drawing board. It's made me think about things differently." Okay? Now, the sad part about this story is that the kid then went out a couple months later and was out on a hiking trip and went and tore his bleeping knee up and never got to play again. I mean, it's just the worst. I mean, well, he got to play again. He just wasn't playing at that level. He wasn't playing at the level he was playing at before after that, which is just horrible because he's a great player. But the moral to that story for me is, cause you can pull your own moral out of it, but the moral for me was is that the greater good was met during that moment. Me losing, the greater good. Those kids learned something, hopefully. I definitely learned something, and I'm sure that guy learned something a couple weeks later because he was at the height of his playing powers, and then a couple months later he wasn't. And so when we all come together and we start working toward things, whether it's the music community, whether it's the media, whether whatever it is, as soon as we stop with this with this divisiveness, and we start recognizing that we've got this inclusiveness, this make room philosophy. You know, make room for somebody else. Let your ego chill for a minute and make room for somebody else, and maybe the whole will learn something. You know what I'm saying? So, boom, that's it. Drapetomania revealed. Make room. I went way, way deep this time. I might have said some stuff that, you know, maybe doesn't make sense to you. But who cares? To reveal, draw your own conclusion. But the samples are from Bread, you know, nothing too majorly super hype about it. You know, it's a couple change ups. Let's play this second change up after this part right here. So there's this little build change up, and then of course there's the other change up that was built. This one coming up right here. I really like this changeup. I really should have used it more. But anyway, we out of here, man. We'll see y'all later. Peace.